Abstention. Motion passes. Staff report. Gail.
Just a few things. One, we recently renewed our fiduciary liability insurance coverage as well as our excess fiduciary liability coverage according to the procurement policy. Whenever we do anything over $10,000, I'm to report to the board, so you're aware now. Also, I wanted to introduce our new executive assistant, which is Stephanie Shedd. She's sitting over here. She comes to us with a number of years of experience as an executive assistant at a nonprofit. We're very, very, very happy to have her. And just so you're clear, you know, Luz will continue to do board travel as she has in the past. There's been no change there. And then I also wanted to mention the next board meeting on November 21st will be held at the Pleasant Hill Community Center. It is anticipated to run through the afternoon.
So how late into the afternoon?
It depends. It depends on the board and the discussions. Possibly 3, 4.
21st.
So all day, basically?
Yeah.
Can you repeat that, Gail? So it's going to be the 21st?
21st.
At a different location?
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll receive the information on that.
Over in Pleasant Hill, in their community center? Pleasant Hill?
Okay.
Pleasant Hill, starting at 90 and going to like 4.
Will there be a jewelry auction? At
only
why are we doing it at a different location?
We were doing a retreat.
Yeah.
Oh, a retreat. Okay.
Just for fun.
All day.
Thanksgiving games, you know.
Okay, and no staff.
And the pail okay. And the turkey.
Outside professionals, Harvey?
Had enough from me today, thanks.
Okay, then we'll move on to trustee comments.
Four of us went to the Public Retirement Annual Conference in Sacramento, which is really put on by governmental agencies or representatives of groups. Amy Brown really runs it, and she publishes the newsletter that comes out. I think probably everybody's seen in your inboxes some time periodically. But in any event, this was on 10/26. I tried to capture just quickly things I thought might be of interest to our board as a whole. CalPERS is now 65% funded.
Ooh.
Versus our 86.
Right? Yeah.
The annual rates of return, they just, and they're on a 6/30 fiscal year versus our calendar year. So it's a little apples and peaches to compare directly, but 6/30/17, 11.2, 16.05, 15.2.0. So obviously two of the 3 years, big spreads between actual and their 7.5 assumed as of each of those years. They indicated they are, CalPERS is moving to amortizing the unfunded liability with a dollar annual amount to the state and to all of the participating agencies as contrasted to a percentage of pay. CalPERS was informed by its experts that the best it could consider earning during the next 10 years was 6.25%, thereafter 7. They're in the process of moving their 7.5 to 7, but I think there's something like a 3-year period to
right.
do that. But their direct advice, 6.25, and I guess I'd read, obviously Tim's here to expand on any of that, but we have no idea in the world what's going to happen in 10 years, so U7, that's fine, but as best we're able to put our hands around what we think is likely in the next 10-year spread, 6.25.
Plus they're still inching towards 7.
They're inching during towards 7, is. Right. A number of state agencies have large reserve funds. I want to say the number was $33 billion. I mean, massive numbers. And they basically get 1% or less on those. So the state has approved CalPERS borrowing $6 billion at the 1% they, in fact, earn or realize. and turning around and earning more, and realizing, of course, that earnings differential. Now, that works as long as there's a positive differential.
Yeah.
At their 0.05 2 years ago, that's not a winner. That's a loser. There was basically zero reaction, my sense of it, in sitting there and listening to anybody thinking this was anything but a winner. Anyway.
Including the state treasurer.
Including the state treasurer.
I thought it was a great deal.
It's his proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the final thing I grabbed, agencies using CalPERS have no option other than to make their annual payments. Harvey really knows this in great depth, but the issue of what is required to actually buy out your obligation and remove yourself from CalPERS is done on current annuity discount rates. Right. They never quite got over, I didn't think in the presentation, that if you have a real interest in this, go to any one of a number of sites through Google, it says value a pension, and pick a representative age and amount, plug that in, and determine what XYZ insurance company will sell you an annuity for. That'll give you a pretty good idea of what the number is. Not all the underlying calculations, but it'll give you a pretty good idea what the number is. That's in essence what CalPERS does if you want out. And getting that differential across, I thought they did a poor job of explaining it, because I think it's fairly straightforward if people really think about it. But in any event, it is so dramatically lower. I think they had two underlying discount rates, lower than three, 2.25.
No, I was going to say about two.
Well, it's a risk-free rate.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Seven and a half percent, right. Your confidence level, so to speak, is like 50%, meaning you're taking on the risk that you may be wrong. But when they buy all that liability back, they're going to buy it at no risk to the plan, and so it has to be priced at zero risk.
Priced as though you were...
Which is a T-bill rate. So. Yeah.
Exactly. You were selling this obligation. You were placing it with an insurance company. Right. Is in essence, the insurance company from that point forward has the full risk. The plan no longer has any risk because the insurance company gets to pay that until the individual passes away. So anyway, getting those points across in a way that broadly was understandable, I thought they wrestled with. But they made the case pretty dramatically that no one is leaving the system. This is the rat trap that, you know, once you're
Roach in, Motel.
Roach Motel, that's it. But once you're there, you're not leaving.
But once you say that, one of the other things they touched on a good deal is this budding problem of plans that are defaulting.
Yeah.
There was considerable discussion about, you know, what are they going to do? And some of them, most of them seem to be fairly obscure little water districts. And
five districts or six people.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. But they clearly know that's a problem on the horizon.
Unlike every other system, CalPERS has in their statute the right to reduce retiree benefits when a defaulting plan sponsor, defaulting district, won't pay their bill or can't pay their bill. So they can pro rata reduce retiree benefits. We don't have that in our statute here, and nobody else has it that I'm aware of. So that's the consequence.
Yep.
And those little water districts have started to hit that
curve. Yeah, they did it to a couple of different places down south.
Yeah. And it's the first time I'd been in the CalPERS building. I mean, it's not
a nice building.
It's not tall, but it is everywhere. There's a lot of people in there.
There are a lot of people. Anyway, those are my notes out of that meeting.
Interesting.
Any other trustee comments?
Anyway, then hopefully that's of interest.
Ms. Gibson. Okay, seeing none, we'll call this meeting adjourned. Thank you. There's